Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Pete Blackburn, and Steve Perrault.
What's up and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 166, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your 22-8 first place Boston Red Sox. I am your host, Jared Carabas. No Coley, no fights, just me and Steve. It is 11:57 here on the East Coast on Wednesday night, and it is our promise to you that every single episode now, moving forward, we're doing the show remote because the Red Sox played a 1 o'clock game today. We were supposed to record at noon. It was a day game. We didn't want to put out a show without updated fucking content in it. So on the days where there's a day game, we're going to fucking record it after. And on the days when it's like, all right, we record in the studio all day, but the Red Sox played that night and we dropped the podcast tomorrow morning, we're going to do a little 5-10 minute segment so that everything is updated just for you. Just for you. We'll stay up until midnight just for you. Right, Steve?
100%.
All right, so Mookie Betts today. Pretty good baseball player. Pretty good baseball player, kid. Carrying the Red Sox. 3 home runs. Count them up. 3. 1, 2, 3. 3 home runs, pretty big deal. You don't see that a whole lot, do you? Do you, Steve?
You do not. No, he made history.
You really don't. He made history. He made history because this is the second time that he's done that this year.
No, Jared, he made history because he became the first Boston Red Sox player to have 4-3 home run games.
Most 3 home run games in Red Sox history. That would be Mo Vaughn has 2. Jim Rice has 2. Nomar Garciaparra has 2. Ted Williams, he's got 3, Steve. You know who just passed Ted Williams?
Mookie Betts at the age of 25.
Pokey Reese at the age of 46 years old.
What if Pokey came back? What would you do if Pokey was just like, I'm back on the Red Sox? And it's not one of those one-day deals. It's like, I'm officially on the team.
He's like, hey, I'm a little busy. I've been a little busy, but I'm back, you guys. You know, it's been, I don't know, what, 15 years or so? I'm back. Actually, it's probably, it's been 15 years.
He's like, I was watching Eduardo Nunez the last couple games, and I can for sure feel better than him, so I'm back.
So I figured if you guys employ that guy, it's pretty easy to get a job on this team. I'm back. Pokey, baby.
Get those jerseys going again. I know you had one of those. Just Pokey.
I have multiple. I have a Pokey Reese, like, authentic jersey.
That's too much. Come on.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
it not. Is. A Pokey authentic jersey is a little too much.
It's not. He was on the team for one season.
It's a little too much.
I don't think it's a little much. I have a lot of like obscure like jerseys. I think we've talked about this before. I've got a lot of obscure jerseys, but I have a Pokey Reese authentic jersey. He played for the Red Sox for one season. He played 96 games. He hit 221 with a 574 OPS. And then was never seen again. That was it.
Literally, is the rest of his life, he was never seen again.
He was 31 years old, and 2004 was his last season in the big leagues. That's crazy. I mean, like, obviously, he couldn't hit a lot, but, I mean, his glove was fantastic.
Isn't it surprising to you? Because I was looking up when we were doing the making the Red Sox bingo list, and Pokey's on there, and I was like, I want to give Pokey a look. I want to check out his stats. Isn't it wild that he was only here for a year? It felt like way more. I would have guessed at least 3.
No, I don't. I mean, I knew he was here for a year. I didn't realize that he had like a 5-something OPS. Like, I thought he was like a little bit better than that. I mean, he's Pokey, baby. I think the most surprising. So I think what happened with him, if I'm recalling this correctly, is that he signed with like the Seattle Mariners and then just like stopped showing up.
That which sounds very accurate. That sounds like Pokey Reese. So not surprised.
Yeah, we can Google it.
We should Google that. We should probably Google
that. Yeah, let's Google that. So I'm looking at it right now. He signed with the Red Sox prior to the 2004 season. And then after his 1 year with the Red Sox, he signed with the Seattle Mariners. And then they cut him. They granted it. Well, his contract just expired. I don't think he played a single game with them. He didn't. And then he signed as a free agent with the Marlins going into 2006. they released him before the season started. And then randomly in 2008, 2 years later, he signed with the Nationals and then didn't play a major league game with them and then was a free agent after that season and then never was signed again.
That all adds up. That all sounds perfect for Pokey Reese.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like after 2004, he just rode off into the sunset. Like, he still tried. It's
wait, we got to save this because Pokey's on the list. So we got to bookmark the rest of the Pokey talk.
Yeah, we'll table this discussion. But yeah, Mookie Betts, 3 home run game, passes Ted Williams for the most 3 home run games in Red Sox history. The other thing, too, that I was looking at, Steven, you know, I saw a lot of talk about D.D. Gregorius.
It's Gregorowski, dude. Get it right. Gregorowski.
D.D. Gregorowski. I saw a lot about this guy, okay? And he's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Pretty good baseball player that they got there in Yankee Stadium. So the other thing is that when I wrote my blog, it's now inaccurate. I have an inaccurate statement in my blog that I have to correct. I said Mookie Betts was 1 point behind Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles for the highest batting in Major League Baseball. Manny Machado must have had an offer tonight because Mookie Betts is now 5 points ahead of Manny Machado for the highest batting average in baseball. He's hitting .365. We move right along to the highest slugging percentage in baseball. It's Mookie Betts. It's .823. The next highest is D.D. Gregorowski, .717, a.k.a. over 100 points higher. We move on to OPS, leading the majors. Mookie Betts, .1274, right below him. D.D. Gregorowski, .1136, is in like basically 175 points higher than D.D. Gregorowski. I mean, all this talk about the Mike Trouts of the world, the hot starts that fucking D.D. Gregorowski had, it's not even close to what Mookie Betts has been doing. Why isn't anyone talking about Mookie?
The crazy thing is, and I know we go on the Twitter machine a lot. It has a lot of information on there and stats. And I see D.D. Gregorowski's name come up frequently. And it might be like, oh, D.D. again, or, oh, Gregor Rakowski went deep. And I'm just thinking, wait, this guy is definitely not, you know, the best player in baseball, but they're treating it like he is. And so here I am thinking Gregorowski should not be treated like he's number one when he's not number one. Do you think the same?
Yeah. I mean, like Gregorowski is pretty good baseball player. The splits would suggest that on the road hasn't really shown that yet. Obviously, I think the most revealing statistic, and I got a lot of Yankee fans were clapping back at me on this one. I find it to be comical when I tweet out statistics without any opinion attached to them and they get all butthurt about it. I'm like, I'm just showing you the numbers. I'm not showing you anything but the numbers, which are facts. That's all statistics are, is facts. So you can talk about all the home runs that Didi's been hitting. That's great. If you want to look at it this way, average exit velocity, these are the major league leaders. There are 177 players, who qualify. Number one, Yoan Moncada. Number two, Aaron Judge. Number three, Giancarlo Stanton. Number four, Miguel Cabrera. Number five, JD Martinez. And then if I scroll down here a little bit, coming in at 169th, D.D. Gregorowski. So all that says to me is that, yeah, I mean, he's finding some gaps. He's finding some holes here. He's catering to what he has in front of him, which is a short porch in Yankee Stadium. But at the end of the day, is he hitting the ball hard? No, he's actually one of the worst in the league at hitting the ball hard, which good for you. I mean, if you're still getting base hits, you're still hitting home runs and you don't have to hit the ball hard, I guess. I mean, all the power to you. But that answers the question of whether or not this is sustainable, which is probably not.
Well, one of the biggest things that we do with a lot of these players is at the end of the year, we kind of look at the year as a whole. A lot of the times it's, what did you do for me lately? And I'd say in the grand scheme of things, you're not looking at someone's April and saying, oh God, could you believe that April? That was something. You're probably talking about how their summer went. And I say that to say, Didi Wazowski in his last four games is hitting 133. He's got no home runs. He's got no triples, no RBIs, one walk, five strikeouts. His slugging is 200. And it's And Jared, I don't know if you've heard of this word before. It's kind of long, but it's a baseball term.
What is it?
The word is slump.
Oh, no.
And so Didi Grabowski is in a slump right now, and it might last the rest of the season. And that's really all I want to say about it, because, again, we're a positive podcast. We're an uplifting podcast. If you're a Yankees fan and you love Grabowski, then you need to hear some positive things, too. And for us to say that it's all bad for you is incorrect, because at one point in the year, he was doing well.
Doing great. It looked like he was never going to slow down.
I mean, it was a while ago, but like at one point he was doing well.
Yeah, like when they were playing two consecutive weeks at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the place that has the walls. Yeah, the walls are 150 feet from the plate.
But I mean, honestly, Grabowski will bounce back. They're going to play more home games. So obviously they play half a season at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, hopefully he gets back there. We see what happens. But yeah, you know, Didi Grabowski is going to definitely do some damage once he gets back to Yankee Stadium. That's for damn sure.
Didi Grabowski. Yeah. One thing with Mookie, getting back to Mookie Betts, Mookie does this thing at the start of the game where he's like, wait, I'm only going to hit homers today. And it's hysterical. It's like he goes the entire game just like, wait, guys, hold up. I think after the first one, he goes in the dugout like, you know, if like you want to just hit homers all day, you can just do it, because I've done it four times and I'm going to just keep doing it the rest of my career. So shout out to Mookie. That's a smart strategy to just only hit home runs.
Shout out to Mookie. So I'm looking at it right now. So this is including today. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Mookie Betts, because Mike Trout hit one tonight too, so now they're tied. Mike Trout and Mookie Betts are tied for the major league lead in home runs with 11. But Mookie Betts has only hit home runs in 6 games.
I know.
So of the 6 games that he's hit his 11 home runs, 3 of those games were multi-homer games. So he has 2 games where he hit 3, he has 1 game where he hit 2, and then he has 3 games where he just hit 1, which are very disappointing.
In all seriousness, and I think I had mentioned this earlier on Monday's show when we were talking about what is the one player on the team that you want their prime for the rest of our lives. And I said Mookie Betts, because the oh shit Mookie Betts games are like, every time you look up Mookie Betts, you know, goes deep again. Like, those games are amazing. And it's really unlike anything as a Red Sox fan that we've seen before. But the way he does it, the way that Mookie does it, Poppy's had a lot of stretches where he's on
fire. That's not even the first name that came to mind.
I know, because how many 3-homer games did Poppy have? 1?
I'm not even talking about Ortiz.
Who are you talking about? That goes on, that has these like 8 RBI 3-homer games seemingly, you know, every month.
No. I'm talking about like, if you were to have, you know, in recent Red Sox history, someone that just kind of blew your mind from an offensive standpoint, it's got to be Manny Ramirez.
Oh, Manny, 100%. And my biggest regret in life, which makes no sense because I had nothing to do with it, is that the rest of our life, we have to be like, yeah, but with Manny. I hate that. My entire room with Manny Ramirez, autographs everywhere, poster on the door, jersey over there, bobblehead in the corner. And now we have to be like,
hey, remember when Manny was a lot of fun, guys? I mean, those are like some of the, I mean, my best memories as a Red Sox fan are watching Manny Ramirez like at the
point. I agree.
I don't know if this might sound weird, but Manny's swing to me was the perfect right-handed hitting swing. So when he hit home runs, I just got like the utmost climax of satisfaction watching a baseball being hit that like no one has ever been able to replicate ever since for me. Like David Ortiz, yes, but from the left-handed side. So it's almost weird. Like, because I'm right-handed, it just feels more natural to watch someone hit a home run right-handed. And it probably feels the same way for people that are left-handed, you know, watching David Ortiz, like that's how you hit a baseball left-handed. But for me, being right-handed, watching Manny Ramirez and then watching anyone else, I think the only one else that the only other hitter that has come close or is similar to it, because he did come close, Albert Pujols. Well, he's left-handed. He's pointing to Ken Griffey Jr., but he's left-handed.
He's up in the corner.
In terms of right-handed swings, just from a not even just home run swing, just pure right-handed hitters, Manny Ramirez, Albert Pujols in my lifetime. Even like a guy like Miguel Cabrera doesn't have like the same like perfect, smooth, beautiful swing as those two guys.
Are you factoring in like pop right off the bat, the follow through, the entire,
the whole package, like the smooth, like it's not like super violent, like it's not like a fucking violent cut. It's just smooth, robotic. The finish, the swag, we're just like off the bat, you know that it's gone, and the way that they pimp it after, where it's just like, I'm not super celebrating, but I know I got that. You know that I got that, and I'm just gonna act like it's not even a big deal while everyone around me is just erupting.
Wait, while we're on it, and if we're gonna do lefties, it's gonna be Griffey every single time, and I still watch his highlights on a weekly basis. While we're on it, Nolan Arenado is on that list. He, like, the way he hits homers, he has this little, it's, talk about, what would you say, it's euphoric or something? What would you say?
Yeah, it's just like the climax of satisfaction.
Climax. Nope, that was the wow, this guy. And no girl has ever done what Manny Ramirez did to Mike.
Yeah. I would rather watch 10 minutes of Manny Ramirez home run highlights on YouTube than have sex. I really would.
I already know it's making a quote card this week.
I really would. I'm dead serious. Like, if I was at a bar and like some girl is like, hey, do you want to have sex with me? And I knew that like YouTube closed, and it was like, all right, it's 11 o'clock. You live about a half an hour away from the bar. You could take this girl home, or you could watch Manny Ramirez hit home runs for 10 minutes on YouTube. Which one are you picking? Manny Ramirez home runs every time.
I don't blame you, though. I would honestly put Arenado on that list. If we're taking team names out of it and, you know, affiliations out of it, Arenado gives me the tingles. He does this little wiggle before he hits. And when he makes contact, it just pops off his bat. And he kind of leaves the bat out a little bit, too. Ugh,
yeah.
I love Arenado. He's my current guy. He is absolutely my guy that is not on the Red Sox that gives me the climax. What was it? Climax, satisfaction, pinnacle. Was that something? It was something like that. But yeah, that's what he makes me. He makes me cum my pants. All right.
The CSP. I'm looking for the CSP. And Manny's got it. Pujols has got it. Nolan Arenado's got it. Try to think of who else has that in baseball right now, where it's just like off the bat, it just looks so fucking perfect. Like sometimes Hanley, not always. Like,
well, Mike Trout allegedly hit a 524 foot homer tonight. It definitely wasn't, but it had some pop.
I saw that. I saw like Starting Nine like tweeted that out, and I'm pretty sure like Bleacher picked it up and said like a 524 foot home run. And then was that you?
That was me. Yeah.
Oh, Steve. Oh.
Oh, no. You see how he said it, right?
Yeah, allegedly.
Mike Trout, 524 foot homer with a question mark. 524 feet seems impossible, but Mike Trout allegedly just went there with like the thinking face. So no, it definitely wasn't like he definitely went there. That's not how it was pitched. Statcast, somebody fucked up because it looked like 424. It was not 524.
Maybe.
That was not 524. Come on. You saw it, right?
Yeah, I saw it. This dude just tweeted me, said, hey, Jared Carrabas, Yanks are just two games out of first now. You hate to see that. The Red Sox won today instead of the Yankees. You were two games out of first yesterday, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, this is not updated information, you clown. Anyway, moving on. I want to talk Monday a little bit. That was a fiasco, dude.
Monday fiasco. You can't lose to the Kansas City Royals. You can't lose. So did you see the stat that Rob Bradford tweeted out?
No. What's up?
Red Sox are 7-6 in games started by Chris Sale and David Price this year. How the fuck does that make any sense? I understand the Price one because he hasn't been that great in like three of his six or seven starts. He had the 5 earned runs against Tampa, the 4 earned runs the time before that, which was the Oakland start where Chris Davis got him with his fucking last pitch of his outing, which was bullshit because he was cruising right before that. He's got the one inning against the Yankees where he gave up 4 earned runs. I understand the Price one. How the fuck? Chris Sale, I think he's allowed like one earned run or fewer in like three or four starts. He's got one win. The Red Sox have won one of those games. Or
something like in that. Five of his seven starts, he's given up one earned run or less.
And he has one win in those starts.
He has one win in those starts. Yeah.
That is insane.
But you can sense it too. You can sense it too, right? Like when you're watching Sale starts, it'll be like the seventh inning and you're like, are they going to fucking lose this again after that performance? Yeah. And they seemingly do most of the time, or they have to come back and win.
Insane. Like, I guess like this obviously happened to him when he was in Chicago with the White Sox, but that's because the White Sox were bad. Now he's on a fucking division winner, a team that has the best record in baseball. And he fucking still goes seven innings, one earned run, and he doesn't win. I don't know. I don't know. Like this guy, I feel like he should have 300 wins already and he doesn't.
This season, he probably should rate.
Yeah, like the fact that it's not that they don't score runs for him either. Like they were going to fucking win. Kimbrel just blew it. Yeah. He was fucking, it was 17 consecutive saves that he had converted. And Kimbrel goes out there and blows it against the Royals. And wasn't it fucking Alex Gordon's first home run of the season?
It was his first homer of the season.
Yeah, everything just like it doesn't add up. It's the most confusing process that I think I've ever seen in the last 3 to 4 years.
Jared, I have to disagree because I think there's a more confusing process than that.
What would that be? What would that be, Steve?
Well, it's trying to find tickets to a sports or a concert online.
Yeah, I would agree.
But we have the solution, right?
What is the solution, Steve?
The solution to that, my friend, is the SeatGeek app. And basically, here's the deal. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and for music fans. Like, so to put it in more obvious terms, SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites. And Jared, they ensure that you get the best possible deal.
Yeah.
And like SeatGeek does all the work. And Jared, you save time and money.
So you're saying that like if I wanted to go to a sports or a concert, that if I pulled up multiple tabs and I'm looking on all the different shitty sites out there, that SeatGeek just does that for me and puts it all in the same spots so I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah, and Jared, SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. So basically, you'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deal that fits your budget, Jared.
Yep, which I do have a very small budget these days.
Yeah, no, same. But like, here's the deal. Best of all, like the listeners of this show get an instant $20 off tickets for their first purchase on SeatGeek.
Wow.
So yeah, $20. Yeah, like, and I'll explain it a little more clearly. Like, you have to download the SeatGeek app, and you have to go to the settings tab. And Jared, you got to click add a promo code. And when you're there, you enter promo code section 10, which is just happens to be the name of the podcast. It's section 10. And so here's the deal. SeatGeek will instantly take off $20 from the purchase that you just made. And
wait. So if I want to buy Red Sox tickets and they're $50, they're now $30 because I just used the Section 10 promo code?
Yeah, or even if you want to go to a concert, you can do it too.
I mean, so if I want to go to a sports or a concert, I can do that for both.
Yeah, it works equally for both. So basically, download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Section 10 today. Big coupon, bitch.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. If I'm sitting there right now, it's like, oh, I want to go to the Red Sox game. Me and my buddy, oh, we found, you know, tickets for $50, put in the promo code. Now they're 30. We split it. It's fucking $15. You're going to Fenway, having a great time. I mean, you probably pay more to park than you do for the tickets.
So, Jared, I got a quick question for you. And this is not me jabbing at you. All right. Don't take it like that. Okay. Do you think it's time to get rid of the game over, insert the coins tweet?
No, it's not, but
it was a tough look.
It's not a tough look. It's not the first time that I've tweeted it.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, if you're going to use it for the Royals, as you should, then it's, if it doesn't work against the Royals.
I mean, this is his third year on the team. I've been using it all 3 years. I want to say because I'm also like, it's a feel thing. I use it for a majority of his appearances. But if it doesn't feel right, then I don't use it.
Yeah, I have noticed that. I'm like, all right, smart move to hold off today.
Yeah, like it's not every single time, but it's probably like 90% of the time. And like there's been times where it's like, all right, fucking ninth inning against the Yankees. You had Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez coming up. I'm like, probably not a game over situation.
Yeah, I think they have some points.
Yeah, I think they might. They might have. So, like, I don't know if they do. I don't know. They might not. But I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna tell them that they don't.
I mean, how am I supposed to search their pockets for coins? I'm on the couch, guys. I don't know if they have coins.
I'm not even there. I'm in New York. They're in Boston. How the fuck are you supposed to know how many coins they got? So that's kind of where I'm at on that. It's more of a feel thing. So yeah, it's not going anywhere. If anything, we have a graphics guy at Barstool now. He might be making me like a custom one, like a Dirty Craig game over GIF, a little Giphy Deuce.
I like that Giphy Deuce. So to transition, are you a bingo fan?
A bingo fan.
Yeah. Normally, I mean, old people play it.
The drummer for the Beatles.
Jared, I hate to tell you that. That guy's name is Ringo. It's not bingo.
Oh.
I mean, it's close because the B is kind of like an R. Yeah. So I think, yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
So basically, I just need you to say a number between 1 and 75 is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh. It's because we're not in studio, so we don't have the little fucking rolly cage.
Yeah. So we call this manual bingo.
Okay. I'm going to go with 28.
28 is Adrian Gonzalez.
Oh, okay. All right. I like this. I like this because I am a defender of Adrian Gonzalez in Boston. I wanted him real bad. I wanted him real bad, mostly because at first, actually, by the way, the Red Sox acquired Adrian Gonzalez on, let's see, what's the date? The Red Sox traded him for Adrian Gonzalez. December 6, 2010, was traded to the San Diego, traded by the San Diego Padres to the Boston Red Sox for a player to be named later, Ray Fuentes, smooth. Casey Kelly, and Anthony Rizzo. The Red Sox sent Eric Patterson to the San Diego Padres to complete the trade. So before this, I was in college. I think it was probably like the 2009 fall or spring semester. And I was in a speech class. And two of the speeches that I had to do, one of them, bring back Nomar. I have photos to prove this. I have like pictures of the fucking, the little slidey down
thing. You're saying this like it's surprising. This is very believable.
Yeah, like this is documented. I did a speech on bring back Nomar. And they did, even though it was for a one-day contract. I wanted them to sign him to like play the whole season and whatever. Fuck you for not doing that. So they did that one-day deal to have him retire in a Red Sox uniform. The other one was why the Red Sox need to trade for Adrian Gonzalez. I was a big Adrian Gonzalez guy. I talked about how he has power to all fields, how he was a cornerstone bat, how he was lefty, how all the fucking the maps that showed his doubles and Petco and how there would be home runs in Boston. So here's the thing. Everyone hates Adrian Gonzalez in Boston because A, he complained a lot. He was, talking about the Red Sox collapse in 2011, how it wasn't in God's plan. He complained about the schedule, whatever. Doesn't fucking matter. Does anyone remember what he actually did in his lone full season in Boston? He led the league in hits. 213 hits. That was a career high. 45 fucking doubles. 27 home runs. So everyone was disappointed because they were like, oh, wow. This guy hit 40 home runs in 2009. You put him in Fenway Park, he's going to hit 50 to 60 home runs because of all the fucking balls that were doubles in San Diego. They're going to be home runs in Boston. Well, guess what? He still hit 45 doubles. That's a lot of fucking doubles. Then the next, then he hits the 27 home runs, drives in
138.
He hit 338 with a 957 OPS. He was seventh in voting for the MVP award. He was an all-star, won the Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger.
Ken, one thing real quick, the one thing, and you're kind of getting, I was going to let you finish that, but this is my point I wanted to make on Adrian. That stat line is ridiculous. His 2011 year is insane, and he finishes seventh in the AL MVP rankings. Which is wild. Like, look at Jose Altuve last year, has 24 homers, 81 RBIs, and hits 346. And even if you go down the lines, you compare all their stats, it's like Gonzalez was seventh in the MVP vote in 2011. I mean, it ended up shaking up as Verlander, Ellsbury, Joey Bats, Curtis Granderson, Miguel Cabrera, and Robinson Cano. I just can't, for the life of me, think that, you know, all six of those guys had a better season than Adrian Gonzalez. But oh well. Yeah. It was. I mean, I'm looking at the stats, like, they were all damn good, but it is kind of wild to show that some years is a big MVP year, other years, you know, not so much.
And he was just consistently good. Like, you look at the home road splits in 2011, he hit 347 at Fenway Park. He hit 329 on the road. He had a 929 OPS at home, a 986 OPS on the road. It was a very, very, very impressive season, especially for a guy we know. It's like anytime a big superstar comes to Boston, they fucking suck right away. That didn't happen with Adrian Gonzalez, but no. Everyone remembers Gonzalez as this guy that was this epic failure because they traded him. That's not what happened. They wanted to get rid of Josh Beckett. They wanted to get rid of Carl Crawford's contract. And the only way that they were going to do that with the Dodgers is, like, we'll give you a player that's really fucking good if you just take these other shitheads. And that's what the Dodgers did. They took on the contracts of Crawford and Beckett, who ended up being pretty decent for the Dodgers, but was all Bostoned out. Crawford was a fucking bum. They were like, all right, if you give us Gonzalez, we'll take these other two fucking assholes.
And he kind of reminds me of JD Martinez right now in terms of consistent production, where it's like, okay, you needed the bat. You got the bat. The bat is doing what you need the bat to do. And yeah, that's what Adrian did. Like, there was no point in that season where I'm like, where is A gone? Like, what's he doing? He was consistent.
Home runs. People were pissed about the lack of home runs.
27's fine. Let's not act
and
like
he
that's
drove a in 117 runs. Like, the whole purpose of hitting a home run is to drive in yourself and drive in other runs. He still drove in a shit ton of runs.
So what we're gonna do, Jared, because we have 10 seconds left on Agon, I think this is what we should do with all these guys. A closing line on this player. What do you got for Agon? Closing thought.
I would like to, for Red Sox fans, to find it in your hearts to look back on Adrian Gonzalez as a player that came to Boston, wanted to be here. He negotiated an extension when he didn't have to. He was traded here and negotiated an extension to stay with the Red Sox. That was part of his plan. He wanted to be a Red Sox. Yes, he complained. Yes, he was whiny. Yes, that was very lame. But he came to Boston. He wanted to be here. He wanted to win here. And he produced when he was here.
My closing line, just, it wasn't in God's plan. It wasn't in God's plan. We do have some DMs.
I'm sorry, what?
We got direct messages on Twitter.
What?
We have DMs on Twitter. People send them in. We ask and they send them in.
What?
I said it three times. You heard what I said. I've already said it.
No idea what you just said. What did you just say?
Are your ears blocked?
Down the DM, bitch!
It goes down in the DM. It go down in the DM. It go down, it go down. It goes down in the DM. It go down. It go down in the DM. It go down.
Down in the DM, as always, brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face. First one comes in from Rob. He goes, Devers get to the games? Does his mom drive him, or is he old enough to walk by himself?
Well, I mean, Franklin the Turtle takes the school bus. I imagine he probably takes the school bus.
If Devers showed up in a school bus.
Gets, like, dropped off at the corner. He's, like, showing up in the school bus, waves goodbye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
I'm going to my game. I'll be back later. Save some ice cream for me. I know, Tommy, you always eat the whole thing. You got to save some this time.
Yeah, I feel like he definitely gets dropped off via school bus.
I agree. Ted, he goes, since Wally is stealing signs, what would Tessie do?
Tessie.
I'm just going to answer this real quick. Tessie can get lost. That's what Tessie can do. We don't need Tessie. We've never needed Tessie. I forgot how much I disliked Tessie until, you know, we were at Fenway this weekend and I just saw Tessie. I'm like, Tessie, get out of here. We don't need you. We never needed you, Tessie. And this isn't even sexist. We had Wally. We have Wally. We don't need Tessie.
I love Wally. I will always love Wally. Is Tessie Wally's sister or girlfriend? What is the deal?
I got to think sister, because I don't think Yeah.
I mean, where does she come from? Where's she been? Like, how big of a Red Sox fan could you be if it's like, oh, yeah, like, Wally's my brother. Like I'm just going to show up because Wally's famous now. Like, oh, look, I'm Wally's brother. My name's Tessie. Like, no. You know what, Tessie?
Do it.
You fucking bandwagon fan. You think that you're just like this big, oh, I'm Tessie. I'm a big Red Sox fan because my brother's Wally.
Piece of shit, Tessie.
You show up out of the blue just because, oh, the Red Sox are popular. I'm going to capitalize on that. Oh, my name's Tessie. You remember the song Dropkick Murphys? Woo! I got some news for you, Tessie. Okay? That's not how it works around here. If you're a Red Sox fan, you were born a Red Sox fan. You don't just fucking show up because your brother Wally's famous. Try to fucking piggyback off of the success of Wally. All right? So you know what we do to people that try to piggyback off the success of Wally? You know what we do to those people, Tessie?
Listen up, Tess. Better listen up.
Get in the fucking bathroom, Tessie.
Get in the bathroom, you bitch, Tess.
Get in the fucking bathroom, Tessie. All right? Enough out of you. Get in there. Shut the door.
If we had taken bets on who the next person we put in the bathroom was, Tessie would have had some great odds. Like, in terms of, like, the money you're winning, the odds would have been wild. Like, I don't know.
Like, I mean, I don't think that many people, if you were to throw a tweet out there and be like, hey, we haven't dropped the episode yet. Tweet it right now. Tweet it right now while we're recording this. Be like, hey, we just put someone in the bathroom. Who do you think it is?
You think anyone replies?
No one says Tessie. Nobody says Tessie. It's 12:35 in the morning, by the way. So I don't know how many people are actually going
to. Oh, no, dude. This is one of my favorite things about our listeners. I'll tweet out stuff at like 1:30 and people are like, I'm still up, baby. I'm still up.
Yeah. Tweet that shit out. Be like, hey, we just put someone in the bathroom. We want to know if you can guess who it was. I bet you nobody says Tessie.
Hey, guys, we just put someone in the bathroom. Free T-shirt if you can guess who it was.
I bet you no one gets this.
Go. All right, the tweet is out. We will update you with the results as the show goes on.
Damn.
Next DM comes in. Oh, you, what's up? Gets it.
I don't think anybody gets it.
Maddie, and Maddie's a girl.
Oh, what's up, Maddie? What's up, baby?
Maddie, we're going to do everything we can to get those Section 10 ladies teased back because, Maddie, we know that you want to put that thing on when you listen to the show, baby.
That's
girl.
Right, baby. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Is it possible to break Benny and his girlfriend up? If so, how do we make this happen?
I don't know how in deep I want to go here. But I've seen some tweets on the timeline from just random female Red Sox fans that were like, Andrew Benintendi's girlfriend just blocked me on Instagram.
Ooh.
So she's like one of those where it's like, oh, if you're like a fan of my guy, then you're a threat and I'm going to block you, which is weird because her Instagram is private. So why would you block people?
The defensive move. Does that mean things aren't going well? Defensive move.
I don't know if it's that or if it's like if they're like commenting on Benintendi's Instagram and she doesn't want to see their flirty comments or something, which is. Seems like a very odd move.
Yeah, this whole thing seems like a confusing process. Next one comes in from John. And
hey, John.
Infinity War, Jared?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either. I'm going to see it Thursday. So John goes,
You're a fucking nerd.
I know. I'm wearing a Marvel shirt.
Yeah, like who has like the fucking brand? That's wild. Anyways, continue.
Moving on. It's been a busy week, kid. So which superhero in Infinity War would you most want on the Red Sox?
Can you tell me who's in the movie?
It's like everybody.
Everybody? Every superhero?
I mean, it's a shitload of superheroes. It's the ultimate collaboration.
Is the Incredible Hulk in this movie?
Yes, Hulk is in the movie.
All right. So I would pick the Incredible Hulk. I feel like he'd probably hit a lot of home runs. Feel like he's very strong, could probably hit a lot of home runs. Give him a bat. We'll figure it out. We'll teach him how to hit. I mean, the raw power is enough to get a contract for me.
Guys, hear me out. And this might be a hot take, but I'm going to take the Hulk. He can hit a ball deep. I'm just look at his arms. Just look at his arms.
How would you pitch to that guy? Probably pitch him inside because he can't his fucking arms are so big. You'd probably just tie him up, pitch him inside. But if you hit him, he'd probably kill you. So you don't want to pitch him inside. Leave a fucking ball out over the plate. He's going to smash that fucking 700 feet to dead center.
That is a great one. We have Iron Man, Thor, Hulk.
Like, if the Incredible Hulk was on a baseball team, he could literally, like, accidentally pop one up and it just goes over the fucking scoreboard in center field.
The more I go down this list, the more it's going to be hard for me to combat that Hulk is the above and beyond obvious selection here.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Thanos is like the, he's a Titan.
I mean, is Thor in the movie?
Thor is in the movie too. I'll go with Thor. Thor will be my selection.
He's got a hammer.
He has a huge cock, and Chris Hemsworth is a babe. So I would probably tweet about him, you know, and his hair and all that. So I'm going to go with Thor. We have another one, and this is a special one. I'm going to pull it up real quick. This is from Ryan. He goes, so my brother just got engaged yesterday. Anyways, is there any way that you guys could give my brother Scott and his new fiance Caroline a shout out on your next podcast? Of course we could. Congrats.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. What is Ryan and who?
Scott and Caroline.
Scott and Caroline. Hey, Scott, sweet Caroline. See what I did there?
Ooh, because that's the Red Sox playing that song. Yep.
They do that the eighth inning. Sweet Caroline. Scott, Caroline. I wish you guys nothing but the best. And may your days be happy. And you guys probably going to consummate the marriage. You know what that means?
I think I know what that means. What are you implying?
What do you think that means, Steve?
That Scott's going to see a boobies?
I think he might see some boobies.
Imagine if he hasn't seen a boobies yet.
Yeah, it's like, I'll wait for marriage to see those boobs. Okay?
That's how much I care about you, Caroline. No, I just got one thing to say. Caroline, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? What's up, girl? What's up?
How you doing? This comes from Alan. I'll transition Alan? Before this gets worse. Yeah, that's my dad's name. That's a dad's name. Craig Kimbrell signs with the Red Sox for another 5 years. What hat does he wear in Cooperstown? Braves or Red Sox? This seems very obvious.
Depends. Does he win a championship in Boston? I think it like right now it's the Braves. But if he were to win a World Series in Boston, I think that changes the conversation. I don't think that it makes it a slam dunk that he does it with the Red Sox, but I think it changes the conversation. Like if Curt Schilling goes in, what cap do you think he's going to wear?
Red Sox, because we're going to, with the presence of social media, of this podcast, of yourself, we will make it near obvious he doesn't have a choice.
Put it this way. Well, they don't give him the choice. Like it's the Hall doesn't give the player the choice.
That's not a discussion that the player has with the Hall?
No. So, like, they changed it because of fucking Wade Boggs. He was going to wear a fucking Devil Rays hat into the Hall of Fame for, like, they were going to, like, pay him to do it. It was, like, this big scandal.
I remember that.
Yeah, they took away the player's choice. So, Vladimir Guerrero, he was, like, pretty 50-50 between the Angels and the Expos. He had better numbers with the Expos, but he chose the Angels. So like the Hall of Fame was like, because it's kind of close, we'll let you pick which one. But if it's obvious, then they don't let you pick. They pick for you. So with Curt Schilling, it's like, you know, you got the Phillies, you got the Diamondbacks, you got the Red Sox. I mean, there's options here for, I mean, he was dominant with the D-backs, won a World Series there. He was great with the Phils. Obviously a legend in Boston before he got a Twitter account. So I don't know. I it'll be interesting to see what happens with Schilling if and when he gets in. It'll be a fucking disaster if he doesn't, because he should have been in already. But with Craig Kimbrell, I mean, the numbers in Atlanta were phenomenal. They're great in Boston too. But also you're talking about his age, what? I mean, he's obviously going to be much older. I mean, obviously, it's years go on, you get older. That's kind of how time works. But the not as productive seasons, I would imagine, over the next five versus the years that he had in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm a big Hall of Fame guy. You know this. And it's surprising to me that that's a fact, that that's how it goes down. Because everyone always pitches it as like, oh, I wonder what hat he's going to wear in the Hall. And when you go to the Hall of Fame as a player, like the entire weekend, your dick is getting sucked. Maybe literally. But like the, in terms of how they treat you, you are a god. And then you honestly get treated like that every other Hall of Fame that you go back, which I think the Baseball Hall of Fame does a phenomenal job of. Honoring the people that are already in for the rest of their existence. But yeah, I think for Schilling, I think it, because Kimbrel, whatever, if he wins a World Series with the Sox, I think it's definitely Sox. But for Schilling,
yeah. That makes it definite, though.
No, but I just think it's definitely Sox. For him, who knows? But yeah, for Curt Schilling, that's, to me, that's between D-backs and Sox. And I think that's a very, very, very close race. So that will be something that we'll keep an eye on. Last one here comes from Red Sox Dugout. I hate when they don't have a name. If you could have the life of any player in Major League Baseball right now, who would it be?
The life of any player in Major League Baseball.
It's a thinker.
It is a thinker. Like Bryce Harper is about to make a shit ton of money, but he's married. Mike Trout, I believe, is engaged.
Yeah, I think he's engaged, yeah.
I mean, Justin Verlander's life must be pretty nice. You got Cade Upton. You got a shit ton of money. You're on a great team. You're one of the best pitchers in the league. Yeah. Like, Justin Verlander seems like an enticing option, but you're also older. Like, I'd rather kind of be like a younger dude than on the wrong side of 30.
I'm going to go with Nolan Arenado. And I'm not saying that just because I love him. I would want to have his skills. I would want to hit in Colorado. I think I hear only good things about Denver. And but I think he's single. I don't know. I've never seen him with a girlfriend. That's a cool life to live. And he's pretty young. So I think Arenado's the move there. That is all we got for the DMs. As always, Down the DM is brought to you by Ronald's Napkins. They clean your fucking face.
Yeah, they do. They really do, Steve.
Going to empty the bench real quick. The Section 10 shirt map. The Section 10 shirt map is popping, man. We're up to 17 parks. I did not.
Wow.
Before summer, I honestly expected this to start popping off in like June when people were like just wearing shirts and not, you know, coats to the ballpark and whatnot. We're up to 17 parks and it is May 3rd. So
what are some of the newer ones that we got?
The newest ones are Chase Field for the D-backs. You got Minute Maid Park for the Astros, a park that I really want to go to. I've always loved that park since I was a kid.
I've been there.
It looks amazing. It looks great. Awesome. I miss Towels Hill. I love that. I love quirky baseball shit, and I'm very upset they got rid of that. Oh, well, that's same with the White Sox. But and the last one was the Cardinals, so Busch Stadium. Busch Stadium the third, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. I love a good Busch.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, God. No. We're going to keep this moving. Pedro dominated the night at the Bruins game. He was honestly... He was way more entertaining than the Bruins were. Like anytime they cut to Pedro,
bright spot.
They cut to Pedro. He's in the, you know, he's in the like, box, hey. Like dancing around, like, hey. He gets so much out of the point. Yeah.
He loves it.
Doing this thing now with a hashtag. Yeah, hashtag.
Gotta play the hits.
Yeah, you do have to play the hits. And that was a big night for Pedro. So final score of that game was Pedro 1, Bruins 0. And Jared, can we tease the potential guest or guests we have next week or no?
Oh, okay. You want to do a little fucking teasy doos on who's coming into the office for an interview?
Unless we don't have time left.
You want to talk about the Red Sox player that told me to my face, that he's coming into the Barstool Sports office when the Red Sox are in town to come on the podcast? You want me to just say who that is?
Do we have enough time?
You want me, Steve, to tell you and everyone listening right now that there is a Red Sox player who said, I guarantee you, I will come into that Barstool Sports headquarters, go into the podcast room, and record an interview with Section 10. You want me to just say who that is?
Say it. You won't.
We want to say thanks to our producer, Steve Peralt. You can check him out on Twitter at Steve_Peralt. You can follow us on Twitter at Section10Pod. Also on Instagram at Section10Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, rate the show, tell a friend. We're in the middle of the season. Tell a bunch of fucking people about Section 10. That's how we're going to grow. We're going to keep getting more guests. We're going to keep entertaining you twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday, up-to-date podcast. More live video content as well is on the way. I think we're going to be going to Yankee Stadium to be doing some live video content, which would be great. Be doing some of that. Also, check out our sponsor, SeatGeek. You download the SeatGeek app, use the promo code Section10. You get a fucking $20 rebate. Instant $20 rebate off your first purchase.
Keep using the confusing process promo code.
They forgot to update it. You still get $30 off Red Sox games.
It still works. Use confusing process. You get an immediate $30 off. Don't tell them we said that.
It was supposed to only be for April Red Sox games, but people have been ordering tickets off SeatGeek using confusing process and getting $30 off for games that are not in April.
It's honestly a very confusing process that they haven't pulled the promo code yet. So download the app and use promo code confusing process today.
Oh boy.
Wouldn't want to cuff you.
I've been in LA too long. I see the same bitches everywhere I go. It don't really matter where they from. Acting on a model, heard it all before. Population for me, I see the same bitch. I see the same bitch, yeah, yeah. Population for me, I see the same bitch. I see the same bitch, yeah, yeah. I hit your DM, baby. Took a screenshot, yeah, you tried to play me. I bet this shit was good for your reputation. I just let it go so I can see you naked. Holy moly, look at what you wrote. Million followers, but your bumper's broken. What's your focus? Tell me what your goal is. I know you only like me cause I just spent 100 bands in one night. Spent 100 bands in one night. I know you wanna live this life, but I can't make a whole housewife. Oh, no. What's your name? Who's your daddy? Is he rich like me? Is he rich like me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been in LA too long. I see the same bitches everywhere I go. It don't really matter where they from. Acting on a model, heard it all before. Population for me, I see the same bitch. I see the same bitch, yeah, yeah. Population for me, I see the same bitch.
Gerald,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everywhere I go, I see the same hoe. Always post selfies on the ground from an angle. A catfish, Hollywood devil, not an angel. Her bag is Chanel, but she drive a Durango.
I mean, like, are we trying to say that Wally's not human? Like, well, he's a green monster, but, like, he's someone.
Yeah, I guess. I just, yeah, someone's like, the best way to do it. Because if we said anything else and implied it wasn't a someone, then they're
like,
just going to say.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Wally got a DUI and we said... We put someone in the bathroom this week. Who do you think it was? Everyone would probably guess Wally. So he's a someone. She's a someone. It's only fair.
Like, I don't know. Like, should I say something? No.
I actually like, I prefer this little under the table thing now where people are like, yeah.
Hey guys, I just used it. It still works.
It still works.
Don't say shit.
People just go to the game like $2, $3, $4. I've gone to 20 games this month for $10.
$10. SeatGeek owes me money for going to all these games.
Yeah, SeatGeek, what the fuck? You know, it's a confusing process. You owe me $100.
I want to go to bed. I'm Steve.
That is your go-to voice.
I'm Steve.
Yeah, let's talk about the Sox. Let's do it.
I'm Steve. I want to go to bed.
Take me right to you. 100 bottles
was out of gush, it couldn't even bring it back. What am I to do? Feel like I'm circling the drain. All I see is the remains of an ugly truth. 100 miles I could follow all the way to hell and back, but they can't replace you.